Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk about Reuben Foster getting released by the 49ers and then the Niners' loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-9. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information.
We've worked on him since he's been here. I know the stuff that happened last year was the biggest thing, and we supported him through that for a number of reasons that I think we discussed last year, and we were going to let the process take care of itself. And, I think that did. I think you guys all know what happened with that, and we felt that's what we felt from the beginning. And so I did feel good about that. You know, I want to do what's right, and I'm not just going to – we want to do what's right, and we're not just going to do something just because – people think something happened or didn't. You know, I'd like to know. And, you know, we supported Reuben through that, and we felt good about it. And on the way it worked out, you know, I'm glad that we did. But we also knew Reuben had a string of making bad decisions. We knew that when we took him. We thought he would improve, and we were going to do everything we could to help him. And Reuben did improve in some things. But, for that to come up, for what did happen last year or earlier in this year, and then for what happened Saturday with the same person at a team hotel, it's just hard to comprehend how you could put yourself in that situation again. And not okay with that regardless. I don't know exactly what happened. And obviously, I mean, any time you're dealing with domestic violence or anything like that, when there is a victim in domestic violence, I mean, there's not many things in this world more wrong than domestic violence and things like that. And there's everyone in our building are just like other people. We feel extremely strong about that, and we'll always support that. I don't know exactly what happened between Reuben and the accuser, but after this happened a second time with the same person in our hotel, I think that decision-making was enough for us to move on. And who knows what happened, and maybe people will find out, but that wasn't why we made this decision.
Well, that's Coach Kyle Shanahan talking about Reuben Foster. And Steve, what a blow to the 49ers on a Saturday night to find out about this incident. And of course they made the right decision. I mean, it was just, you know, just too much. You give a guy a second or third chance, and then this happens, and it's happened to this organization before with Aldon Smith, unfortunately. And it's really a shame because, he's a very, very talented kid who was going to get better, I think, at playing in the NFL, but now his 49ers career is over.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because he seemed like he was going in the right direction. I know they were spending a lot of time and effort, energy, a lot of time and effort and energy into him. And it's unfortunate for everyone that he, I don't know what was in their agreement with him, but I'm going to speculate that it was, stay away from this woman. She's obviously trying to trap you, and she got him. I don't know if you listened to the 911 call.
I didn't hear the 911 call yet.
Oh man, you would. She was so calm, you would have thought she was ordering a pizza. I'm just going to speculate that her goal was to trap him, and she did. She got him.
Well, it's a bizarre story.
It's really sad on all levels. And unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, for him to be back with her was the first part of it to me that was very strange. You know, the whole recanted story, it's just a, you know, a really complicated web. I mean, this is that's what made it so hard for the 49ers. It's hard to make decisions when you have something that's not really cut and dried.
Yeah, and I had heard, you know, rumor, I'm going to call it, yesterday that there was a 911 call by her about a month ago that didn't reach the press. I heard somebody speculating that. So whether that really happened or not, I don't know. But it's just really unfortunate. And a Saturday night on the road, you know, I don't think many people, I don't think many, if any players knew, it sounded like they didn't know about it before the game. I mean, they didn't know about it on Saturday night. They knew about it before the game. And, I mean, that puts a damper on it when you've just lost one of your best players.
Yeah, and they really cared about him as a person, especially if you know his story, you know, his dad trying to shoot his mom when he was, what, 18 months old or something like that?
18 months old. I mean, it's horrific. And like I said, he seemed like he was going in the right direction. You know, he seems to be a fun-loving guy, and it's really unfortunate.
What about what it does to the team? I mean, this team didn't play well on Sunday in this loss to Tampa Bay. I mean, how does that affect players when you have a personal situation like that going on?
I just think it puts a negative tone into you before you have even stepped out on the field. I mean, before you've even started, it's, you know, we've talked about this before. It's a hard enough league to win in to begin with, and then you lose one of your best players, you know, right before the start of a game, and you're in a game that you got a pretty good chance to win, I think. And now you're without him. Even though I think what's the young man's name that's playing behind him? Fred.
Warner. Yeah.
Warner. I mean, I think he's. I mean, again, he's a rookie, but I think he's going to be a pretty good player. It seems like. But it just puts a negative thought, negative energy into you before you've got to go out and play.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, do you think as an organization there's anything to be learned as far as when you're picking players? I mean, a first-round draft pick like this, you know, you try to vet these guys as much as possible, and there were teams that were just going to stay away from Reuben Foster. I mean, is that something in the future, you know, you got to do a better job of, or is it just one of those things that, you know, you just get bad luck? I mean, you're hoping the guy is okay, and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's bad luck. I think they did their homework. I know they did their homework. They felt like they got a steal. I mean, they get them in the low first round. They made the trade with Chicago to trade down and get an extra pick out of it. You know, get Solomon and get Reuben in the first round. I mean, I think that. It was just bad luck that they couldn't get them on the straight and narrow. I mean, I think they had them going in the right direction, just didn't stay the course.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Let's talk about the game. The Buccaneers, their defense coming in was not very good. I mean, in fact, they were allowing 33 points a game. You know, that was on pace to have the second most points in NFL history. I mean, they were a pretty bad defense coming in, but the 49ers just couldn't put up points. They only put up 9 points. It started pretty well. I mean, Breida, remember that the first play of the game, he runs for 34. It looks pretty good, but you know, they just couldn't really maintain any consistency, it seemed like.
No, they couldn't. And the biggest thing was they couldn't. They didn't convert on third down. I think they were 1 for 8.
Yes, 1 for 8. Yep.
So they didn't keep any drives alive. Couldn't stay on the field offensively. Couldn't keep the defense off the field. And then you add to that Jameis Winston was probably played the best game of his career. Is my guess. I mean, he was 29 for 38 for 3-something.
312. Yeah, two touchdowns.
So, I mean, percentage-wise, I mean, that's a great day at the office. So, you know, you add that to it. You add a couple turnovers, and it looked really inconsistent.
Yeah, since you mentioned Winston, we'll talk about the 49ers defense and get back to the Niners offense. Because, I mean, I noticed that Winston, yeah, he's elusive. He's going to be tough to bring down. I mean, those kind of quarterbacks are always difficult. And he really seemed to find the receivers open in the 49ers zone coverage. What do you think of that, the way they're playing their coverage? I mean, is that all about the quarterback making those plays? Should they have changed things up a little bit?
I mean, I think the defense has been playing pretty well. They just didn't get to Jameson up front. I mean, even with some of the some of the blitzes that Robert Saleh had dialed up on third down, they didn't really get there. I think they maybe had a sack. I think there was one. I think we had one sack. So
I think that was it.
We just weren't there. We just didn't get there. And you're playing zone behind it. Most of the time, and if you have time, you're going to find somebody open.
Yeah, and then he also, I mean, Mike Evans had a big day, and that's not unusual. I mean, he's a really good receiver, but he ran right by Richard Sherman on that one long reception in the first quarter. I mean, that was an example of the day.
Yeah, that kind of was, and kind of made Richard look like he might have lost a step. And I know he's had some hamstring, maybe a calf, I think a calf. So it definitely made him look like he had lost a step, unfortunately. But Evans, I mean, he had a few really nice catches. If Winston doesn't kind of direct that ball to the sideline, he might score on that deep ball. So then you take all of that with our offensive struggles again. It seemed like Tampa went back to what a lot of teams have done against us, playing man coverage, kind of bump and run, help over the top, cover two man, or single, a single safety man, and you take. You take Garcon out of the equation, experience wise, and you take I just drew a blank on his name.
Well, they had Bourne in there.
Goodwin.
Oh, Goodwin was out. Yeah, personal reasons, right?
He was out too. So you take experience out, and you take speed out, and the young guys seemed like they struggled against man cover, bump and run man coverage. And then you get Mullins standing in the pocket trying to find an open receiver. You're getting sacks. You're getting, pushed around. So it didn't look great.
Yeah, Mullins was getting hit. Also didn't have his best game. It seemed like he just didn't have the accuracy he had in the other games.
No, but again, I think it was because he's standing back there with the ball too long, because he was waiting on, he's trying to find an open guy, and unfortunately they weren't there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I remember I mentioned that they had a good first drive of the game. They come out in the third quarter and they have a great drive again. I don't know. The beginning of a quarter seems to bode well, and then they just can't do it again. I'm not sure what that is.
Didn't have that. Well, yeah, they just weren't able to maintain that rhythm that that they seem to have, like you said, at the beginning of the game or the beginning of the half.
Yeah, and now here's an example, too, of their struggles this year. And really, in recent years, they get down to the goal line there after that drive. You know, Breida's running well, and they get some catches by Pettis and Bourne. And then they have that bad goal line offense. I mean, they had struggles there. They just couldn't get in. I mean, you know, they're short. Wilson tried to get in. Breida tried to get in. They have a false start. I mean, Mullins tried to get in there. False start, and the next thing you know, they have to kick a field goal. So, you know, you got to score a touchdown there.
You do, unfortunately, and especially in that game where you weren't able to maintain drives. When you get down there, you've got to put it in the end zone. I think, you know, that kind of all comes down to, in my mind, just an attitude that, hey, it doesn't matter. We're going to get this in. Whatever we got to do, we're going to get this ball in the end zone. They get down there and seem to back to the kind of lose the rhythm. You know, kind of coming in and out of the huddle. That's, you know, it always bugs me when teams just, you know, everybody stands there like in a, all over the place, like looking at the sideline, looking for the play. Like there's no rhythm of coming out of the huddle. Not that that's, I'm not saying that is the case of the Niners. They do usually huddle down there. So you have that rhythm of getting the play, coming out of the huddle. You know, getting in the line of scrimmage, but they, for some reason, seem to lose the rhythm of that and the attitude of that when they get down there.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, I mean, maybe they missed having a big back in there at the goal line. I mean, Breida is having a great season. I want to talk about him. But they just didn't have, you know, I don't know if it would have been better to have, you know, somebody else running the ball up the middle.
You know, you get down there, and you would think that they would be good because they've got the best fullback in the league. You know, and Juszczyk. So, and when you're running down there, you need that person. You need that lead blocker for that extra body that's in the box, or two that are in the box. I honestly would think they would be better, especially from in really close. You know, first and goal inside the five type thing.
Yeah, well, maybe they Morris didn't play, so maybe they missed him a little bit by not having him out there. I really think, I mean, Breida has been one of the major bright spots on this team. You know, in this game, rushed for over 100 yards, 7.6 yards a rush. He has that burst to get into open space. I think he has a really good future, Steve.
I think so. He's earning that right, that's for sure. I mean, When he seems to see holes well, and boy, when he sees that hole and he hits the gas, he is in it and out of it quickly, which is really fun to see. He runs the ball well. The line's been, I think the offensive line's been pretty good. You know, obviously blocking for him as well. Which, going back to the last point of why can't they put the ball in the end zone down in close, I'm befuddled by it because the O-line has been run blocking pretty well. Breida's, he obviously runs the ball well. He seems to catch the ball well from out of the backfield. They a few times sent him out, you know, split him way out. They got the coverage that they wanted. They get it. You know, they got some sort of a three deep zone and a corner playing out there on him. But he backed off and they threw it to him and he gets 6 or 7 yards. So you're getting, you know, you're getting your best playmaker of the ball. It's basically Breida and
Kittle.
And Kittle.
Yeah, that's the next guy I wanted to talk about because he's the other real bright spot on this team. But, you know, one thing I was wondering, Steve, is that I wondered if the 49ers were trying to go to him too much. He did have 6 catches, but I think he was targeted like 11 times. They were really trying to get him the ball so badly. But, you know, it's not always going to work out. The defense is figuring that they've got to make sure he's covered.
I can see where you're saying that. Yes, they did try and go to him a bunch. But he, you know, again, he runs good routes. He has good hands, and he's able to get off. You know, he's running like a big slot receiver, but he has a safety or maybe a smaller linebacker covering him, and he can beat those people. You know, whereas, as we talked about a few minutes ago, the receivers are struggling against the bump and run. So if I'm Mullins and I have Kittle work in the middle, I'm going to him.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's a two man situation. Okay, maybe I take a peek outside if one of my receivers got off the bump quickly, and maybe I got him in a hole. If not, I'm coming down working. I'm working the tight end in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just that having that confidence in receivers and just knowing where they are. And, I mean, I guess all of that would happen if you had more continuity. I mean, this team has had three different quarterbacks this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, it is. And, I think Mullins has done a good job of getting the ball to the open guy, taking what they're giving him. Sunday, I think it was the first time with him playing that, again, we saw where, you know, he's looking, now I got pressure, now I have to move, you know, the kind of thing that was happening to CJ, you know, earlier on where we were getting that man coverage and we weren't getting off it, that's the first time I've seen it with Mullins in there on Sunday. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I don't know if Kyle has said, does he go back to Beathard?
He said Mullins. I just saw that
okay.
in the paper today.
I think it's the right decision. The reason I would say that is because I think his ball is more catchable ball, and he's a little more accurate than CJ is.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Winston, and I had the opportunity to cover the Colts game this past Sunday, and Andrew Luck made a play near the end of the game, really was turned out to be the game winner, where looked like he was going to get sacked. He got away, and then he just – the improvisation, just finding a receiver, you know, just knowing where he is. I wanted to get your thoughts about that as a quarterback. You know the route that a receiver is going to be on, but it changes. When you're almost going to get sacked, then things change. How do you find a receiver like that? He ended up being pretty open.
I did see that highlight. And I would say that the reason, well, his experience is one, and knowing where your guys are going to be and knowing what coverage it is, two, but as soon as he kind of ducked and came out of the pocket, his eyes went right up, right downfield.
Yeah.
And boom, he sees him right now and sticks one on him. So it's experience. It's knowing where your guys are supposed to be and knowing, you know, within two steps of your drop back, what coverage you have and as he comes out of that pocket, he knows right away where he's going to have somebody open.
So he's thinking the entire time. I mean, even when he's almost getting sacked.
Yeah, no question.
He's thinking,
yeah.
What's going to happen after I get away from this?
Yeah, exactly. As you drop, I've got cover two. I need to go to the routes are, but you know, you're saying, okay, I need to go down the middle. No, I don't have him now. Oh shoot. Now I got to move. And as you come out of the pocket, you kind of go back to your thought like, okay, I didn't have him down. Boom. Outside, you know, that kind of thing. Cause that was next in his progression probably.
Right. Well, yeah, those quarterbacks are tough. Actually, the quarterback the Niners are going to play this Sunday, Russell Wilson, is another one. He just gets away from people. And
playing really well.
Yeah, and the Seahawks are really – they're in it now, and they're playing a lot better. And the 49ers, they're going to have to figure out a way to get some takeaways. I mean, they've struggled in that area. They had zero on Sunday against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and we gave it up twice. And I don't know what we are season wise. We're definitely negative, is my guess. Just because we haven't had many interceptions.
Yeah, the ratio's got to be negative. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing that Seahawks are doing really well is running the ball right now. I mean, that's helping Russell Wilson. That's helping the offensive line in their pass protection. Those two running backs that they have are running the ball well.
Yeah, they've had a really good season as far as that. You're right. I mean, I was seeing that. I don't know if they ran as much against the Panthers, but they definitely have come up big when they needed to. And that's, you've talked about that a lot. I mean, when you need to run the ball, when you have to do it, you have to have the running backs. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've seen that on the when we couldn't do that. You know, Green Bay, if we could have run the ball more and run out some more clock. There's another loss that we had in there somewhere where it might even been one of the Cardinal games or both of the Cardinal games. If we could run the ball, we win.
Giants game too, I think.
Oh, maybe,
yeah.
It was Giants. Maybe that's, yeah. Or it could have been that one too.
Right.
Yeah, where all three of those, I think we had a lead.
Yeah, so those were tough losses.
Yeah, those are really tough.
And now the schedule is not easy because you got Seattle, you got Denver is playing much better now. They beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You got Seattle again, right.
Yeah.
And Chicago, they're one of the best teams in the NFC, and then probably, one of the top two teams in the Rams. So this schedule, it's going to be tough to get another W or two the rest of the way.
It is, but we've got to maintain drives. I mean, the games that we've lost like that just haven't converted on third down, haven't been able to maintain drives and keep the defense off the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's going to be about consistency and also hopefully Goodwin will be healthy. That'll help the offense a lot.
Yeah. What was I never saw anything about why he was.
Actually, it was a personal issue, so hopefully he's back from that.
I saw that. Yeah, that's all I heard, but I never saw anything.
No, I don't know either. I think he is healthy now. He's been banged up this year, but it was a personal issue. So hopefully that is okay, and the 49ers recover from this whole Reuben Foster situation.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy because I think there were. I think there were a lot of, I don't know, a lot, but there were, I'm going to say there were a lot of guys that were vested in Reuben.
Yeah.
And trying to keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. God, it's really a shame.
And now that he's gone, that hurts because, I got to know him a little bit, and I thought he was a pretty fun-loving guy. That hurts. It hurt. It definitely hurt, guys. There's no question.
No doubt.
I mean, personally, it hurt him inside. Hurt the team, no doubt.
Yeah, it definitely was on their mind. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, look forward to talking to you next week about this Seahawks game. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the game in Seattle against the Seahawks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.